This evening, we're going to jump in Book of Daniel, chapter 10. I love Daniel chapter 10. Haven't spoken in a very long time. Daniel's my favorite book in the Old Testament, and I love the Book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, I'm going to start at verse 1. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine to my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, the river which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like a beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms as his feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, and the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep upon my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Let's pray. We'll talk a little bit about being weakened in the presence of God. Let's pray. Father, may the Spirit of God fill me, speak through me. Lord, I know I'm indwelt, and we know the Scripture says that, but we need to be filled with the Spirit, and the preaching of the Bible was filled with the Spirit, and that's what we need tonight. Come in your mercy and in your kindness into this room. Speak to us, Father. May a few people get it and really be able to enter into this level. Others be strengthened and helped until they can get there to that level. And all of us, Lord, hear from you, Lord. We ask you to work mightily in the Word of God and then with the Spirit of God. We claim your promise, if ye being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. We ask now for the power of the Spirit to be here. We claim your promise, where you said he would do that. And knowing we're evil, you said in that verse, you just still promised us the Holy Spirit. We ask for him to speak now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel was a mighty man. Kingdoms had come and gone, and kings had come and gone since he had been there. Belteshazzar and Darius and just several kings had come, and he was the number two man much of that time, not in the nation, but in the world. Babylon was this great kingdom that ruled the whole known world. And then Persia came in. And again, Daniel was this guy way up there, thought very highly of. He stood before great men. We see him under intense pressure. We see him when they're coming to kill him. And we see him handle the pressure and says, why is there the commandment gone for so hastily? I'll interpret the dream. We see him when he has to eat certain foods. And they said, if you don't eat this food, you're going to die. And he carefully and wisely preserves his life and those of his friends. We see him face lions and if he prays, he's going to face lions. And he's not intimidated by any of those things. And he's a very strong, capable man who stands great in pressure and in hard times. And here's this man who's done all these things. But all of a sudden, he gets in the heavenly presence and everything's changed. No longer is he a great leader and a bold man and a strong man, but every bit of strength leaves him. And we see him changed. Verse 7, it says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell on them. Verse 7, therefore I was left alone and saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me. So the first thing we see is his strength was gone. He loses his strength. Secondly, his comeliness was turned into corruption. Corruption in the Bible was used as a word for for sometimes used for like oozing out of a sore and other things. He says, my beauty, my attractiveness, my goodness, my strengths was all turned into disgusting, gross vileness. My comeliness was turned into corruption. And we see these things happen. We see him fall on his face. Yet I heard the voice of these words, then I heard the voice of these words, and it was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face was toward the ground. And so we find him on his face there. I think there's a separation between verse 5 and 9. I think in verse 5 through 9, he comes in the presence of God, of Jesus Christ. The reason I think that is because we know that verse 10 through 17, an angel's talking to whom is very limited in power, but the description of the person he finds himself, where his comeliness turns to corruption, and where he falls on his face, and where he had no strength in him, those are the same things that happens in God's presence. And if you look at the description of this person, it's exactly the same, very similar to Revelation 1. It says his voice was the sound of many voices and a great multitude. It said he had eyes like fire, and it says that he had feet like polished brass and other things that describes Jesus in Revelation 1. I'll read that passage later, but you'll find many things are similar here. And then he talks to, I believe, a different angel in verse 10, and he goes there. Either way, he's in the presence of a heavenly messenger, and he retains no strength. There's three common things that happen to people in God's presence. Very, very common. First of all, you fall down. And almost always they fall on their face. They don't fall on their back. They're not slain in the spirit. They fall on their face, which is an act of worship and come before God. I think also just a lack, they crumble. I think when you crumble, you fall forward most of the time because of the way our bodies are set up and the way our weight leans forward and the way our heads go and everything. And they fall on their face. And that's the first thing that happens. Secondly, they lose strength. They lose strength. And it's going to mention that specifically in several passages of reach. And a third one we'll get to a little bit later. It'll be a big part of the message. Daniel gets a message. He's wondering. He's fasting for 3 weeks. He's praying for 3 weeks. And he's really walking with God and confessing sin and having nothing pleasant, complete fasting and humbling his soul and chastening himself. And he goes and suddenly he's touched and he just falls on his face, and then something reaches down and touches him and lifts him on his feet and starts talking to him, and he says, Daniel, you're greatly beloved. Now here's this person on his face feeling like his comeliness is corruption, and he is called three times, oh Daniel, greatly beloved. God really likes him and is really impressed with him. Verse 11, and he said to me, O Daniel, O man, greatly beloved. Verse 19, and he said, O man, greatly beloved. Now, he really was a fallen creature and messed up and everything else and a human. Yet, God saw him as very special because of what he was and who he was. And by the way, Daniel is one of the only people in the Bible there's nothing negative said about him. He did great. And certainly he was a sinner, and he had that. This angel says, Daniel, since you began to pray 3 weeks ago, the moment you prayed, I was sent to come help you. But he said, I've been hindered for 3 weeks. You read about that in Sunday school. I'll be hindered. Angels get hindered. And he said, verse 12. And then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I'm come for thy words. He says, 3 weeks ago I was sent out. And God heard your prayer, and he said, all right, let's go to him. God said, I immediately heard your prayer, but he said, I couldn't get here for 3 weeks. And what happened is this angel was sent and come into Persia where Daniel was, but Persia was a very demonic country and a very evil country, and this angel came to go into Persia, but there's a spiritual war we don't see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he tries to get in, but it says the prince of Persia, a demon who was over the entire kingdom of Persia, obviously a very powerful leader, and we'll later in the chapter talk about a different demon that's very powerful and another regional demon, wouldn't let him in. And he tried for 3 weeks, and this angel is trying to get the Daniel to bring the message, a message from God. And understand, there is a war, and if you don't get your prayer answered right away, understand, it might be coming, but you got to keep praying. Because the war's going on. This angel's trying to get through. And the prince of Persia says, no, you're not bringing any messages into my kingdom. By the way, I think we face some of that in Seattle. Amen. This is a wicked area. There's demons all over here. We're surrounded by Wiccans. We're surrounded by New Agers. We're surrounded by homosexuals. We're surrounded by all kinds of bad stuff in this area. And secularism and all kinds of things. And so there's a war. And so this angel's trying to come through. Daniel, fortunately, said, I've got to have the answer to this. He kept on praying. He kept on fasting. And finally, angel says, I can't get through. I'm not as powerful as this demon here. So God says, you know what? Daniel's still praying. We got to answer this prayer. Michael, go take care of this. Michael comes down. Michael's the archangel. Michael is the most powerful of all angels. Michael's the one who grabs Satan by his tail and throws him down to the earth and then throws him into hell. Michael's very powerful. Michael comes down and says, let him in, and or I'm going to thump you. And that's in the Hebrew somewhere. And and so the demon has to let the angel come in. Angel comes in and says, Daniel, greatly beloved, I've been trying to come for a long time. Don't feel bad. God heard your prayer. You just had to keep praying. And so, and he says that, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. So I've got a prophecy. I'm going to bring that to you. And he gets that because he kept on praying. And understand, you're in a war. You've got to pray. You've got to walk with God. You've got to fast. You've got, this thing isn't won casually. Your family is not going to be transformed easily without Satan fighting you. You're not going to go and see the power of God and see revival and see miracles without somebody paying a price, without someone continuing the battle, with someone praying without ceasing and without keeping on going. God has plenty of power. God didn't have to come himself. He could just send Michael, but everything works through our prayers. And we've got to pray. And so eventually, the demon has let him go aside, and we see that. And then Daniel is his comeliness has turned to corruption. He has lost all strength. He falls on his face. We see that when you get in God's presence, a few things happen. Number one, you lose your strength and worthiness. You lose your strength and worthiness. Why? Because you suddenly see who you are. You suddenly see who you are. I've often thought, and I have this weird way of thinking. I get in a plane, and they start saying, here's all the safety features of the plane. I don't pay attention to that. I've seen it too many times. First time, I was like, and now I'm like, but I don't pay attention. But I always look and see who the exits are on the plane. And maybe I'm crazy, but I think somehow I'm going to survive even the plane crashes. How many think you're going to survive the plane crashes? All right? Now, in reality, doesn't matter how tough you are, doesn't matter how strong you are, doesn't matter how good your instincts are, your reflexes are, if that plane nosedives, you're in trouble. If it blows up and catches on fire, but strong people have been there before, but they, when bad things happen, when powerful forces come, you feel a lot smaller, you feel a lot weaker. There are things that make you feel very small. And we as humans tend to get more and more arrogant many times until you're reminded of who you are sometimes. Sometimes you think you got everything and you're going to get it all together. You're going to prove everybody everything and all this stuff. Then you fall flat on your face and your confidence just kind of goes poof. And you kind of forget. I'm just a fallen creature. I'm kind of weak. I've always felt like I've been able to take care of myself physically and I don't get intimidated by men and and I never feel like somebody's going to beat me up or anything or anything like that. One time I went in prison. I was in Cook County Jail in Chicago. I went in jail and I was the first worker in, and the first inmate came in, and this guy, he was big. I had never seen such an intimidating guy in my life. This guy was probably 6'8", probably 400 pounds, and all muscle. I mean, this guy just worked out all day. I mean, he was huge. And I remember he walked up to me, and he shook my hand, and his hand was so big, it just engulfed my hand. He was gigantic and huge and strong, and I'd never seen anybody that big, all muscle. I don't know what this guy was in for. I don't know why he wasn't a professional athlete. He was just the most intimidating person I've ever seen in my life. And he shook my hand. I looked over and I thought, there's no guards in here. The guards were all around the corner. I thought, this guy could kill me before the guards could get here. I had never been intimidated like that. I thought, you know, I'm glad this guy's a very nice guy. And I thought, wow, you know what? I'm a wimp compared to this guy. This guy could crush me like a tomato. I thought that. When people come in the presence of God, we got arrogant humans who think they're going to tell God what God needs to hear. You become so small. And everything you thought you were, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. A lot of very strong people who are very strong-willed and very stubborn and very capable and very talented or whatever they are, a lot of them became Christians and started getting to know God, and very easily and very humbly have no problem getting on their knees and saying, you're God, and I'm just little. Because they know who God is. They understand who God is. They understand his power. Sometimes you stand underneath a giant high-rise building, and you just realize how small you are. Or you're nearby a train. You don't really know how big semis are and how much wind they're producing and how noisy they are until you're walking. You ever walked along the side of a highway where trucks are going by? Very big and loud. You don't realize just how much powerful a vehicle that is. And when you get in the presence of God, you lose your strength and your worthiness. I'm so good. I'm so capable. I'm so wonderful. You lose all those things in the presence of God. Daniel, this man who is probably a better Christian than all of us, his comeliness became corruption. My comeliness, verse 9, turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. I retained no strength. And he says this several times, that he lost his strength, and it was taken out of him. Verse 17, for how can thy servant, this my Lord, talk with this my Lord? As for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there any breath in me. You see, I want to go do something big for God. That doesn't seem like that's going to help me do something for God. I'm losing all my strength in the presence of God. It will, but your strength has to be taken out of you. And that doesn't usually happen to a human until they get in the presence of God. It's just too hard to squeeze it out of us. And too hard for us to give it up. And too hard for us to see ourselves honestly. Usually every single success, we get boasted up and think it's us and things like that. Number two that happens in the presence of the Lord, he touches you and makes you receive the strength of the touch of God. He touches you and you now receive the strength, the touch of God, after your strength has gone from you. You receive the strength, the touch of God. Let's look at Daniel. Chapter 10 here in verse 8. I retain no strength in the end of verse 8. In verse 10, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said, oh, greatly beloved. And now he was standing. Daniel was touched when he retained no strength and sat on his feet and was now ready to go. Verse 17, there remained no strength in me at the end of the verse, neither was any breath left in me. And there came again... and touched me, one like the appearance of man, and he strengthened me. And he said, oh, Daniel, greatly beloved. Now, Daniel's feeling I'm so unworthy, and he's feeling I have nothing. I am a toothpaste tube, and I just got a 1,000-pound hunk of steel dropped on me, and there's nothing left in me. And the hand of God reaches down and touches him and lifts him up and says good words to him and gives him strength. But now he's got the touch of God's strength, not Daniel's strength. And the touch of God comes upon him and gives him strength. This is common in the Bible. We see it. Let's go look at the book before this, the book of Ezekiel, and go to chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Verse 28. And it says, and the appearance of the bow was in the clouds in the day of rain, so it was, the appearance and brightness round about. And the appearance and likeness was a glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard the voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And a spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. and set me upon my feet, that I heard him speak unto me. There again, here he is, no strength, falls on his face, and now God's Spirit comes into him. He's lifted on his feet, and now he's gotten the strength of God into him. Chapter 3, and verse 23, then I rose and went forth the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, and the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said, go shut thyself in the house. You see the same pattern here? Presence of God, fall on your face, no more strength, can't even get up. The hand of God touches him. He's on his feet, and now he has the strength of God. The hand of God touched him when he had no strength. Book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, a little farther back. Excuse me, Isaiah chapter 6. Book of Isaiah, we're going to see the same type of pattern. The famous and great Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, and they covered their face and feet and hands, and they did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. The word undone means killed and destroyed, basically, in the Hebrew. Everything's out of me. I have no ability to speak anymore. I am fallen to pieces. And the word best, the most common translated is I'm destroyed. Woe is me, I am undone. Why? I am a man of unclean lips. There he goes, seeing his wickedness. This is Isaiah, not Daniel, not the same guy, different guy. But he says, I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So Daniel, on his face, without strength, undone. What happens? Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from out the altar, and he laid his hand upon my mouth, and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard a voice said, who shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah, with the hand of God upon him, and the coal touches his lips and gives him the ability to speak, he says, here am I, Lord, send me. That's strength. He's saying, who am I going to send? And he says, here. Now he's speaking. A minute he was destroyed a minute ago. Now he says, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll go on this mission for you. Why? He had the touch of God upon him, and he had great strength to say, I can do this. A minute ago, undone, I'm not worthy, I should die, I'm a man of unclean lips. And now he's saying, I'll be the one. Why? Because the hand of God transformed him and took out his strength when he was in the presence of God, squeezed him out, but now he had the strength of God on him, and the touch of God gives you a different kind of strength. And the hand of God is upon them. Let's go to Revelation. Look at John. Revelation chapter 1. We've done Daniel, we've done Ezekiel, we've done Isaiah, we're going to do John. Are you following me so far? Are you still awake? Okay, good. Revelation chapter 1. We won't read the whole passage. He sees this same man, looks a lot the same. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and saying unto me, fear not. Kind words, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Again, presence of God falls at on his feet as dead, destroyed everything out of him. The hand of God touches him and says, don't fear. I am Jesus. He laid his right hand upon me. And now he's going to write down the prophecy of the book of Revelation. All these people were in complete destruction, complete lost everything, small on their face, weak, not much. And soon, the first thing God is saying, don't fear. My hand's upon you. I'm going to use you. You can do this. And all of them in one way or another, in their humility and continued humility, said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And now they have the hand of God upon them. They lose their fear. They receive great power and truth at this point. They feel greatly beloved. I think of the passage in 2 Corinthians. What did Paul say? God says, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In weakness. So we see here the strength of God. How does this happen? Let's go back to Daniel. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 10. Excuse me. Robbie, you want to give me a refill? Just water, cold water. Daniel 10. First of all, what is Daniel doing? Well, he's alone with God. He's alone with God. Look at Daniel chapter 10 and watch him confessing his sin. Verse 7. Daniel chapter 9, I'm sorry. Daniel chapter 9. He's confessing his sin. I got to set my throat. Give me one of those menthols too. And a couple cigarettes or something. I don't know what I need to. There we go. Menthols. Camel menthol or whatever it is. Mentos, not menthol. That's the old life. Quit that weeks ago. Daniel 9. Daniel's walking with God. He's confessing his sin. Verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As it is this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, though all the countries where thou hast driven them because of their trespasses, if they have trespassed against thee. What you understand in this prayer, there's an amazing thing about this prayer. Daniel is confessing for his nation, which isn't confessing. I want you to get that. Daniel was godly. Daniel would not defile himself. Daniel was walking with God. Daniel was was holy. Daniel he stayed in prayer. And Daniel is in captivity because of his wicked nation, which still hasn't really repented. And Daniel's coming to God and said, God, we have been wicked people. He associated himself with his people, and he took their burden upon them. Immature people and immature Christians are always blaming people for what's wrong with their life. You ruined my life. You did this to me. My life could have been better. You did this. My mom did this. You did this. Mature people are taking responsibility even when they're not guilty. I think a person might think of, there's one person, matter of fact, who took the guilt of the whole world, though he was sinless. And he took that upon himself. And Daniel came and said, Lord, we've been wicked. We've forsaken you. Daniel wasn't wicked. But he had a burden for his people and loved his people and knew maybe if I would have done more. One of the things I've found in marriage counseling, and I'll probably use this on somebody in this room someday, so just prepared for it, is marriage counseling usually what starts off with people trying to score points. She did this, she did this, he did this, he did this, and he's worse, and she's worse, and she's worse, and he's worse. Instead of trying to find a solution, it's who's wrong. And I'm going to say, you got 4 points, you got 3, you win. That's not what marriage counseling is. And usually I'll just say, can we stop for a sec? I want you to understand, if I would have walked with God like I should have, and I prayed like I should have, we'd have revival. You guys would be right. You guys would have grown up in probably a Christian home. You guys would have a good marriage. This is my fault. If I would have prayed like I should have, you guys wouldn't be having these problems today. It's my fault, not your fault, not your fault. Now we know whose fault it is. Let's find a solution here. Because you know what? A lot of problems in America aren't Obama's problems. They're not Bush's problems. It's called Christians' problems. They haven't prayed for the nation. Haven't walked with God. You know, maybe if some soul winner would have found these guys when they were 10 years old, they might be preaching the gospel today. We just want to blame everybody else. And Daniel says, Lord, we're messed up. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his ways. This is verse 10, which he has set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel transgressed thy law by departing. They've done these things. And he's confessing his sin. And he goes on and on and on. Verse 23, at the beginning of my supplication, verse 19, look at him pleading for his nation. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and for thy people that are called by thy name. He gets in the presence of God. I want to say, this happens when you get your strength taken away and get God's hand upon you. It starts off with someone spending time alone, someone spending time with God in his presence. It happens in the presence of God, which is prayer. Number two, that person is alone with God. Chapter 10, in verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Verse 8, and therefore I was left alone. And we could read other verses. Daniel has people with him, but those people aren't with him. And he said, the people are with me. They didn't hear and see all this. It was me and God alone. And so I want you to understand that you need alone with God if you want God's hand upon you. And if you want this process of you being emptied and you being squished and you getting you out of you and you want the hand of God to come upon you, it happens when you get alone with God. You don't meet God in crowds. If you do, it's still just you and God alone, like Daniel. He had a couple people with him, his guards or his people who were servants. But he said, I was left alone. They didn't see anything. Same thing happened to Paul, by the way. People with him didn't see Jesus. Paul did. And so you're alone with God. You're spending time alone with God. And you might be in a church service tonight, and God might be speaking to you alone. And you and God are alone here, though you're in a crowd of people. Because God wants to meet with you alone, and you meet God alone. And really, he takes you out of you. That's what this whole process is. The presence of God makes you not like you anymore. I think I just lost you. Woe is me, Isaiah 6, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Daniel, my coming is to turn to corruption. If you like yourself and you think you're awesome and you think God's lucky to have you, can I say you haven't been in the presence of God yet? Because when you get in the presence of God, you find out that most of your problems are you. Most of your problems, whenever you sin, it's not because you were tempted, it's because you knew better and you could have resisted if you want. And you've got bad desires and you know. Now, God said, greatly beloved, Daniel, you're great. You've been praying for 21 days. But that's through the eyes of a merciful God who remembers that we're but dust and has mercy on us. Listen, I do not think, and by the way, I think if you're the person who hates you, because you just are down on yourself because someone criticized you at some point or told you you're worthless or whatever. I think that's full of pride. I think the presence of God takes you out of you and replaces you with strength. I think if all you do is beat yourself, you're not doing any good. God gave you gifts. God gave you abilities. God gave you talents. God is pleased with your righteousness when you're doing right, like he was with Daniel. However, in the presence of God, the problem of you and the selfishness and the sinfulness just kind of gets squeezed out, and you see yourself as you are, and you see who God is, and you look so dirty, and you look so bad, and you suddenly say, I'm unclean. And you say, I have nothing to offer you, God. And God says, good, you're empty now, and now I can fill you. Because a tube is empty. And I've got you out of you. Now, I'm still going to have this shell. It's still your body and you, who I made you to be, and your soul and your personality. But now it's you with the hand of me upon you. And you with the hand of God upon you has a new strength and a new ability and can do great things. These people spent time in their presence. They were alone with God. And they confessed their sin. That's a lot of the problem there. They said, we've done this. We've done this. And I failed in this. And be honest. And if this is the night you're coming to get a feel good about yourself seminar, this is not the message for it, okay? Because God likes confession of sin. And confessing sin is saying, this is sin, God, and I did this. And I remember reading Finney's book on revival, How to Experience Revival. And one of the things that really helped me the most, he said, you need to spend time, if you want God's power, confessing every single sin that comes to your mind you've done. And don't say, Lord, I just messed up. And I confess your sin. Lord, I got angry and blew it and cussed this person out. Lord, I spoke evil. Lord, I went and looked at lust of this thing. Lord, I went and lied about this and I told this person this and you confess it. And by the way, that's a lot harder to do. It's really easy to confess sin in general. Lord, I kind of blew it. You'll find yourself and you'll find that struggle where you can say, Lord, I kind of blew it. And God's saying, I want more than that. And you got to say, and you kind of say, well, I didn't really lie. God says, all right, fine. And you say, okay, God, I told him, I know I was deceiving them. Then you're confessing your sin. And these people who spent time in there alone with God and confessing their sin, they got in the presence of God, and all of a sudden, the presence of God made them see themselves as they are and got themselves out of themselves. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The presence of God is powerful. But then the hand of God in his goodness touched them to do something great. It's not about feeling bad. It's about being touched by God. And you get empty of yourself. And the presence of God, you were undone in the presence of God. You were weakened in the presence of God. But that weakening made God need to touch you to lift you up with his strength now. And all these people, it wasn't the end of it. They said, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. I'm on my face, I'm wicked, I'm terrible, I'm worthless. No, it was just an acknowledgement of who God is and the presence of God changing them. And then the hand of God lifting them up. Because God's got a job for you to do, and God loves you, and God can use you, and he made you for a purpose, and it's to lift you up and give you strength to fill you with his power. But in order for a cup to get filled, it's got to be emptied first. And you got to not like the first ingredients. You got to not want that. I was at a conference in California, Pastor's Workers Conference, at this conference, they had the church there has a very, 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 very wealthy lady. She's the number one real estate agent with Century 21 in the nation. Very wealthy lady. And she liked to take care of the pastors. And so we go to her house. She built a $40,000 addition to her deck for these pastors so we can have a catered meal on her deck. And so we go to this conference and I go up there and I'm waiting in line and she is walking around. And she gave everybody a number, and she's pulling out numbers. Who's number 61? She hands him a 50. And she's just, it's only pastors only and their wives and missionaries. And I want to do this again. And she's handling all this stuff. And, I mean, she's just being a blessing to all these people and doing all these nice things. I get the top, and there's a catered meal there. And, you know, catered meals. And so I get the first thing. I got my plate here. And I start, first thing, what's always the first thing? Salad. So I plop down some salad on my plate, and I'm getting ready to slide to the next thing and get some croutons or whatever. And the guy behind me says, hey, brother, if I were you before I do that, I'd look behind you. I look behind me. This is a $60 plate catered meal 15 years ago, 12 years ago. There was steak. There was shrimp. There was lobster. There was you name it. I mean, and this stuff is all decorated and pretty, and I go, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Down goes the lettuce. I'm walking over there. I said, I got all kinds of stuff I ain't never eaten before. All kinds of parts of a cow that I've never experienced. And the lettuce, well, I can get lettuce anywhere. Down goes the lettuce back in little bowl for the next guy. And I start, and boy, those plates are never big enough, are they? I start filling that plate. Why? Because I wanted the better thing. Would this been okay? Yeah, it'd been fine. For a bunny, and it would have been okay. But listen, I wanted something better. And you can have your life and you and your plans and your dreams, and they're okay. That was planned. I got a little button here I pushed to wake you up. But when you find the hand of God, you just want to throw away all of you and all your strength and all of your ability. And say, I need the hand of God. But you gotta die. You gotta get in God's presence. And when you get in God's presence, you kind of lose your own dreams and your own hopes. And you seem awfully small. And you kind of get honest about yourself instead of the facade. And then you get so weak and you say, God, I have nothing worthy for you to use. Why? Lord, I don't know why you even love me. But you find that when God gets you there, it's not a depressing thing. It's we love him because he first loved us thing. And the hand of God touches you and he lifts you up and says, greatly beloved, here's some strength. I want to use you. And that's what happens in the presence of God. That's what happened to Daniel. And verse 18 and 19, we'll just finish up with that. Then there came again a touch me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. Doesn't sound like he's kicking this guy. And when he has spoken unto me, I was strengthened. That's the second time in a row it said he's strengthened. He's got double strength. I was strengthened. And he said unto me, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Third time. Sounds like the getting you out of you and the humility of you and you in the presence of God and God touching you gives you a lot more strength than you had before you came in. If you want the touch of God. If you want the touch of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight, Lord. And I went a little bit deep tonight, Lord, and I don't know who this message might have been for, but I pray tonight that some of us would seek the presence of God and seek the hand of God touching us, but that hand of God lifting people up and touching them and strengthening them, it only happened to those who were undone and on their face, and woe is me, because of your presence shows us who we are. The light reveals everything, and we see the truth. Help us, Lord, to love your presence and to love your hand and to love your strength enough that's made perfect in weakness, that we would get in your presence enough where we would have an experience or we'd have a life where we see ourselves as we are and see you as you are and empty ourselves so that the presence of God can be upon us and the hand of God can touch us. Thank you for the word. Thank you for how many times you show us this in Isaiah and in Ezekiel and in Daniel and in Revelation and other spots, Lord. Pretty common. Help us to be on our face before you and help us to get the hand of God touching us in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, our eyes are closed. Christian,